today on Real Radio.
Have you ever had, look, we all have. We've had our ebbs and flows of faith. There's times when you feel so strong. There's times when I feel like my faith is invincible. It just so happens that those times are really good times. And then the world throws a curveball and I'm hit. And that's when your faith is truly revealed. Is it in Christ or not?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 3, continues now in his series called Who Told You? Oftentimes, our doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we'll learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. In Part 1 and Part 2 of this lesson, we learned about the many attributes of heaven. Now in Part 3, we're going to talk about the kind of faith that gets you into heaven. We all practice the action of faith in our everyday lives. For example, we have faith that our car will start when we turn the key and that our seatbelt will work when we put it on. But do we have the right belief about faith that leads us to eternal life in heaven? Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we have to have the kind of faith that is solely dependent upon God. And it's that kind of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that's sufficient for salvation. And now, continuing in his lesson called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
What does it mean to have faith that saves? He kept reading. He came to Galatians 3, verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Church, look at that verse. Everybody, look at that statement. This is incredible. This is the Bible. 21 centuries ago. And Luther reads it 500 years ago, that no one is justified, declared righteous by the law. Have you ever been asked, go ahead and leave the verse on the screen. Have you ever been asked in some church experience, if you just do that, we'll qualify it, we'll put our initials next to your achievement. If you just do these three things or do these five deals, if you just do that, then listen, you'll be vindicated. Church, listen. Have you ever been told, if you give this much money or if you pray these many prayers, it will be right with you? The Bible says no one is justified by the law. That is, by the righteous requirements of the law in the sight of God. And Paul adds to the church of Galatia, this is evident. In other words, everybody knows this. Look what he goes on to say. For the just shall live by faith. That hit Luther like a ton of bricks. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, that is, draw back from faith, my soul has no pleasure in him, God is saying. So notice this carefully. Faith is native within all of us. The level of your faith, magnitude of it, irrelevant. Did you hear what I said? If somebody appears on Christian radio or TV and says, if you just have enough faith, you can have it. Beware of them. I said this to you a few weeks ago. If anybody says to you, if you just have enough faith, you'll be able to have that, or you'll be able to obtain that, or the reason why you don't have that, or the reason why you did not obtain that healing or that benefit is because you don't have enough faith. Did you know the Bible knows nothing about that? That kind of doctrine teaches people to have faith in what? Exactly. To have faith in your faith. And faith is a dangerous thing if it's off course. Your faith is only viable by nature of the fact of the object in which it is placed. You trusted your seatbelts this morning, and according to Ford Motor Company, so you should, and there's a contract that backs that up. If that seatbelt fails, you will own Ford Motor Company in a lawsuit. God says, you trust in me. My son died on the cross for your sins. Faith in him and him alone is what saves you. You come to him. You trust him. You lean on him. And God says, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's a big period at the end of that statement. Who is or what is the object of your faith? Is it truly Jesus? Now, this is a church. I would venture to say that 100% of you would say, it's Jesus. We're kind of like, you know, is it in Toy Story? Who's the cowboy? Is it Woody, Andy? Who's the, is it Woody? It's like you pull the string and Woody talks. A lot of us know Christianese really good. It's like when this comes up, this is what we say. But do we believe it? Do we really believe that? Oh, praise the Lord, we say. But do we really? Oh, hallelujah. About what? What are you talking about? You know how we have this Christian stuff that just comes out like Woody talking, pull the string, out comes Christian language. Oh, God be praised. Well, what are you talking about? Oh, I don't know. I just thought I'd say it. Why are you saying that? What's going on? And when somebody says, do you believe in Jesus? What do you think the Woody answer is? Yep. Why do you believe in Jesus? What is your faith in Christ all about? What is the genesis of it? How did you come to faith in Christ? And what are you dependent upon him for? And listen, it's not how great is your faith. It is your faith in the one who is great. That's the issue. Because we know from the Bible that God accepts those who have hardly any faith at all. We've even seen, it's kind of bizarro, we've seen Jesus in the Gospels accepting faith from people who we would not even approve of. A woman who says to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Where's that in the Bible? That you, if you touch the Messiah's robe, you'll be made whole. That's not in the Bible. That's goofy. It's goofy because in that time period, people believed that if you were sick and you touched the hem of the garment of a physician, you would be made whole. That woman pursued Jesus, not because he was Jesus. She pursued him because she believed that she was going to be healed. And Jesus turns and says to her, or says to the crowd, I felt virtue depart from me. Jesus took that little odd angled faith and he scooped it up, did he not? Jesus said, regarding the man who stood on the corner and beat his chest and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever had, look, we all have. We've had our ebbs and flows of faith. There's times when you feel so strong. There's times when I feel like my faith is invincible. It just so happens that those times are really good times. And then the world throws a curveball and I'm hit. And that's when your faith is truly revealed. Is it in Christ or not? So what does it mean to have faith in God? What kind of faith are we talking about? It's a faith that is solely dependent upon his attributes, his promises, and his ability to perform. It's all about Christ. Church, listen. Let me give you a little side thing. Should you and I do good? Yes. Should we be loving and kind to one another? Yes. Should we be good citizens? Yes. None of those things get us to heaven. But if you're a Christian and you understand that Christ has done it all for you, then all of these things I just mentioned and more, that should be our new life response. We don't do good citizenship so that we can go to heaven. We don't do morality so that we can go to heaven. The motive is wrong. Without Christ, that motive would sound worthy. But with Christ, it's completely irrelevant because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I want to obey him. I want to follow him. I want to know him. I want to love him. And I want to exercise true faith, real faith. So we know that we all have faith, but what's the object? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 1, what is biblical faith? The Bible says faith is the reality, the display. The word means faith is shown. So listen, faith is the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things that we cannot see. Now, just think about that statement for a moment. You know this is true, even if you're not even a believer. Faith is this reality that we are hoping for. It almost sounds like a contradiction. If you're hoping for something, how can it be a reality? But the truth of the matter is, and listen, the faith that the Bible defines to us is a faith that is based upon fact, The faith that's in the Bible is a logical faith, a reasonable faith. Church, listen. The faith that we're talking about is not defined by Harvard University or the University of British Columbia. It is not. Our faith is not an intuition. Our faith is a faith that is given to us, made available to us by the very same God that made the brain. My God created analytical thinking. My God says, study, search, see, find out, discover, come to a reasonable, logical conclusion. Does this fit? Do the investigation. Unearth everything you can. Make your own personal decision. Is Jesus Christ Lord or is he not? Is the Bible worthy of your attention and your belief or not? Find out. Go see if it's true. These people that say, well, you know, you Christians, you want me to make a blind leap of faith. I refuse to make a blind leap of faith. That's why I'm not an evolutionist. I refuse to make a blind leap of faith. That's why I'm not an atheist. Think about it. God says, I've given you these evidence. So when the Bible says that faith is the evidence of things hoped for, it means that what is in eternity, we can see, we can understand, we can begin to get a grasp that God has given us enough information. And then he goes on to say, and it's the evidence of things not seen. That is an awesome statement. This is not intuition. If I think in a very analytical, systematic, intelligent way, I have to agree with God. Number one, God says that he made the invisible and the visible. Look at you breathing right now. You're breathing. How do you know you're breathing? Anybody, can you tell me? How do you know you're breathing? That's a great question, right? How do you know? Well, one of the most basic answers is I'm still alive. But you're breathing. Well, you might say, well, my lungs are moving. That's okay. I got that. That's the scientific description of what's happening. Now, there's the air transfusion. The lungs are working in conjunction with the blood. The molecules are binding to one another. The blood is running all over your body, depositing O2 everywhere. That's all great. But the fact of the matter is, what's happening to you right now is all happening by things that are invisible to you. And you're trusting in those things completely. You do it every day. And faith is trusting in what God said he'll do. You've never seen God. You read the Bible. It says what it says. And then God says to you, now, why don't you take up the word and see if it's true? Listen to this. I want to read this to you. This is from Martin Luther on his commentary on Genesis. From the beginning, my Reformation, I have asked God to send me neither dreams nor visions. This is good. Because do people trust in dreams instead of the Bible? Do they trust in visions instead of the Bible? Nor angels, but to give me the right understanding of his word, the Holy Scriptures. For as long as I have God's word, listen to this, I know that I am walking in his way and that I shall not fall into error or delusion. Martin Luther, isn't that a great statement? You should say amen to that. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? I already knew that 500 years ago, that statement was considered heretical because it was purely Bible and nobody on the street was allowed to know or have that kind of faith in dependence upon the invisible power of God to come through. And Luther began to go down a road that hadn't been walked for centuries, all about faith. Now we ask this, how can you know if that faith that you possess is real? How do you know if your faith is real, that it's a true biblical faith? Well, one of the things that we could look at is John chapter 1, verse 12. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible there says, Jesus speaking, but as many as received him, to them gave. Circle the word gave, gifted, imparted. Listen, gifted, gave, free gift, unearnable, impossible for you to earn, gift. And what is it? The right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Everyone, look at that verse. To those who believe in his name, do you believe in his name? Do you know who he is? Do you know what he's all about? The Bible here announces to us that he gives you the right to be called or to become a child of God if you believe or trust in his name. All that Christ offers you, God says, I give you eternal life. I give this. That word is gifting. Gift. Listen, last Tuesday, I was accused of being a Dodger fan. All I did was I took a video of a home run being hit at Dodger Stadium. And I simply said, home run Dodgers or go Dodgers or whatever. And people began to say, I thought you were an Angel fan. I never said I was an Angel fan. I never have. I'm not an Angel fan. Well, what happened? How were you converted to being a Dodger fan? When someone comes to you and hands you an envelope of four opening day, game one, World Series tickets, and says, I want you to have these, a strange thing happens in your life. You immediately find out that you're a Dodger fan. I didn't know it. I didn't understand what was going on. In fact, I actually argued with the very sweet, generous man. Oh, no, you don't really. No, it's okay. No, you may. No. And he insisted. And so when I didn't exactly know what was going on. And then when I got home, I opened them up and I began to take pictures of them and I began to swoon with, what? And I began to turn blue. It was amazing. I hadn't even got to the stadium yet. And I was, go Dodgers! And it was amazing. The transformation that came over me was remarkable. And what was going on? A free gift had come to me. I tried to refuse, and I could have if I wanted to be rude, but I eventually gave up. I gave just enough fight, though, also, to let the young man know, you ought to give this to somebody else. And I was trying to say that I'm not a fan. But I didn't say that. But then I received them. I was very grateful, very thankful. But I took a free gift that was offered. Are you listening to me? I took a free gift that was offered, and I didn't understand all of the benefits. Yes, I didn't understand the trials and the difficulties of the 60 freeway and the 101. And I didn't understand the troubles on Spring Street and then entering the stadium that you're still an hour away from your seat just because you entered the stadium. I got all that, but I endured through it all and I kept the faith and I got to the seat and sat down and a Dodger hit a home run right out of the park. Listen to this. When God provides, God guides and God gives us the victory. The first game of the World Series and the first moment I sat down, I saw the first play, a home run out of the park, and at the end of the night, the Dodgers had won. What had happened? Oh, it was all free, paid for by somebody else at someone's expense, freely offered. I could never have afforded it, could never have experienced it. And I went there with my family and had an amazing time, and we'll talk about it for the rest of our lives. And we kept even the ticket coupons because it was such a great memory, great family time, and great event. And listen, if you can get so excited about such things, then let God give you the ticket to eternal life. Let God give you heaven. Let God give you salvation that's through Jesus. Jesus bought the ticket at the cross. He rose again from the dead, justifying you. And this is the amazing, remarkable thing. How in the world is it that your faith is real? Because of the object. It's Christ. It's Him. We plead with you in this church constantly. Don't trust in anybody. Don't look to me. Don't look to anybody on staff. Don't look to the church. Don't look to the movement. Don't look to an evangelist. Don't look to a pope. Don't look to an organization. Don't look to anybody. It's Jesus. It's the Bible. Look to God. Look to God. Look to God. It's Jesus. Over and over again, Jesus. The great reformer John Wycliffe said in 1320, his lifespan, 1320 to 1384, John Wycliffe said, "Trust wholly in Christ. Rely altogether on His sufferings. Beware of seeking to be justified in any other way than by His righteousness. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient for salvation." You guys, this is radical talk back in those days because nobody had the Bible. "There must be atonement made for sin according to the righteousness of God. The person to make this atonement must be God for man." You should say amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. What an incredible statement. Listen, Jesus Christ died to save sinners. The more you realize the power of God to save and the faith in him, in which this faith is rooted, is Christ and not our own effort, then you'll rejoice in this next few verses. In Romans 3, verse 20, is your faith real? Romans 3, 20, listen to what great apostle Paul had to say. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Pause there for a moment. What is he saying? All of our lives, we did everything to earn God's favor. We found out if we just would have paid attention to the law, that is Moses and the prophets, that those laws were given to convict us of our sins, not save us. Paul is saying we can't be saved by keeping rules. It's impossible. The law was given to convict us. Look, you know this. When you're going down the highway and the sign is posted 70 miles, whatever the freeway speed, let's just say it's 70 miles an hour. Isn't it 85? Whatever it is. Whatever the speed limit's posted. Whatever the posted speed limit is, you know when you see that sign along the road, you know you automatically, you don't even think about it anymore because you're a motorist. Automatically, what do? You see the sign, you see the number, you look down at your odometer and your speedometer, and then you look right up and you make necessary adjustments, right? If you're under the posted law, you don't even think about it. If you're over the posted speed limit, you think about it. But if there's a policeman with a radar gun behind the sign, you do more than think about it. You get sick to your stomach and you pull over. You automatically pull over. Have you noticed? I've seen people pull over before the lights come on the car. How does that happen? Convicted, the posted law nailed them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 3. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you are putting your trust in Christ with the kind of faith and enthusiasm that others want to experience for themselves. Who Told You About Heaven, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, and the future of His church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the end times, so I want to tell you about the Happening Now Volume 1 DVD set. The study of Bible prophecy has often been misrepresented, which has led to widespread confusion. Now, in an effort to bring some understanding and reason to this important subject, Pastor Jack Hibbs and his special guests examine God's prophetic word in the light of world events. Now, these special messages also include Q&A sessions where perhaps questions you may have are addressed. Now more than ever, we need to have a safe and well-grounded understanding of God's Word in these seemingly unstable times. Get your copy of Happening Now, Volume 1 on DVD today. You'll find it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, there is an easy way to get the Real Life Devotion. All you got to do is go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Devotions tab and get the Real Life Devotion sent right to your email. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week. Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, click on the Devotions tab, or why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Get the Real Life Devotions once a week to take your walk with God to a deeper level. Did you know that there is a real easy way to help support this ministry? All you need to do is download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and click the Donate button. That's a real easy way that you can help support this ministry. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the app. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.